We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern. And the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky. And while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, they'll be bidding America goodbye.
From just south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks, your host here for the next 3 hours. Nice to have you with us as we document the crisis of our republic, the undermining of our national, state, and individual autonomy. And today is the 11th of September, 2010. It is the 9-year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen, of the horrific attack on New York City, the Pentagon, Washington, D.C., and a field outside of Pittsburgh. And we need to talk once in a while about this. I know that there has been a burgeoning 9/11 truth movement, which has come out of this, out of the ashes of the Twin Towers. A lot of this stuff with this 9/11 group has been, you know, controlled opposition groups, frankly. A lot of people involved in this that are professors on universities, I think many of these same people would probably support world government if you really got to talk to them and looked at their secret agendas. So there's a lot of people that are exposing 9/11 that really, I think, are a part of the whole scheme of things. And I think the problem is we had early on a lot of people waking up to this whole thing, and so they had to figure out a way to bring this back inside their dialectical arguments of control. And the way to do that would be to bring the leftists into the equation so that they can turn anybody who brings up 9/11, anybody who exposes what really happened during that day, would automatically be considered, well, you're a leftist kook. You're one of them Democrats. You're anti-American. You're anti-patriotic because you're not supporting the troops. Yada 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 yada. These are the games that are played on a daily basis. What I'm going to do today, ladies and gentlemen, as I've thought about this anniversary of September 11th, 2001. I want to play you the audio of a documentary I've referred to over the past several months, because I think this documentary very, very effectively smashes the notion, the government notion, that there is a worldwide terror network into pieces. This is a BBC documentary called The Power of Nightmares, The Rise of the Politics of Fear. And I don't agree with everything in it. I want to say that at the outset. And I will go a little bit more into what I don't agree with in this documentary, but the vast majority of it is excellent and very revealing, and I think everyone needs to pay attention to it. The producer of this documentary, by the way, has reproached the U.S. media with this, trying to get this aired, and they have turned him down. All right, we're going to take the break. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about this. We'll be back. This is Govern America.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
When you turn and find that you're all alone, and the velvet wall the night moves in wraps around you like a wall of stone. Just when your final prayer has flown,
love will get there.
When a mother's touch is far away, you close your eyes and you hear a voice whispering, it'll be okay. Just hold on for one more day,
love will get there.
Back to the broadcast, Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. The website is governamerica.com, www.governamerica.com. And my email address is radio@governamerica.com. Before the break, I was telling you that I'm going to be sharing with you a documentary here in just a little bit called The Power of Nightmares, The Rise of the Politics of Fear. This is a BBC documentary which basically blows the U.S. government argument that there's a worldwide terrorist network waiting behind the shadows, behind the scenes, to try to get us, the boogeymen of the war on terror. And we know the war on terror was planned in advance. We know the Project for New American Century report, Rebuilding America's Defenses, is one of the most damning pieces of evidence. And that's why I refer to it most often. more than any other piece of evidence. A lot of people get involved in a lot of the scientific details about how buildings fall, you know, the physics of the buildings collapse, and all this stuff. They argue over this stuff, and I think when you get too involved and engrossed in all that, you start focusing on things that may or may not be something that could be debunked. I think what you have to do is you have to stand back and take a look at the broader picture, ladies and gentlemen. Look at the motives. Look at what they wanted to accomplish, what they said they wanted to accomplish prior to September 11, 2001. We know John Maresca testified before Congress. I pulled that congressional testimony off of the government's own website. Actually, there were two separate websites. One was Congress's own website. One was a different website, which was still a government website, after the congressional link went dead. I think too many people noticed it. But now we know that John Maresca testified about the need to build this pipeline to get the oil out of the Caspian Sea region. And they wanted to take the pipeline, and he explored a number of different directions to go with it. But he said the only logical solution would be to go through Afghanistan, but that's problematic because the Taliban government is in power. Now, I want to share with you, first of all, the Associated Press now saying that the U.S. must deal with the homegrown terror problem. You remember last week we talked about this report that the U.S. government had put out, which basically was a glossary of different terminology, and they included real terrorism, real groups that could very well be defined as terrorists by the average person. You know, if you think of terrorism, something, some act that would be, and I guess that's really one of the major problems that we have here is we don't really have a definition of terrorism today, do we? Even after all this time, we still really don't have a feasible definition of terrorism. What is terrorism? Could not anything be defined as terrorism? Certainly, we're going to have Bob Chapman on in the third hour. We can look at some of the stuff that's going on in the financial world. And we can imagine that that would be financial terrorism, couldn't we? I mean, when people are losing their homes, when people have lost their jobs, when people ultimately are going to be starving to death because the government is not going to be able to pay people forever. Their government is not going to continually issue people unemployment checks and Social Security checks and other forms of quote-unquote aid, which people either out of necessity or out of just lack of desire to do anything different, have become dependent upon and addicted to. At some point, the checks are going to run out. At some point, the United States is going to default on its international obligations. The writing is on the wall, ladies and gentlemen. There's no way this can continue. And so when that happens, and I do say when, not if, because there's no way it can be avoided as I see it, unless the world powers get together and huddle and say, maybe we should just wipe out all debt and start over from scratch. Now, that is possible. That might happen. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. But one thing that I think that we need to think about is when that happens, if they huddle and decide to wipe out all debt, what's going to be the cost? What's going to be the terms of the agreement to go along with this wiping out of debt? What will be in it for them? What will we have to give up? What will we have to adopt? And I think it's very obvious what's being engineered here is a world government in a world monetary unit, which they control. But in the meantime, how many people are going to be terrorized? In the meantime, how many people are going to be victimized? You have a lot of people today that are going to starve to death, and I'm sure probably already are. We talked some months back about how they have an armed guards posted at the grocery stores in Detroit, for Pete's sake. This is financial terrorism. Associated Press says, report, U.S. must deal with homegrown terror problem. Dateline Washington. This was just yesterday. The Associated Press put this out. The U.S. was slow to take seriously the threat posed by homegrown radicals, and the government has failed to put systems in place to deal with the growing phenomenon, according to a new report compiled by the former heads of the September 11th Commission. The report says U.S. authorities failed to realize that Somali-American youth traveling from Minnesota to Mogadishu in 2008 to join extremists was not an isolated issue. Instead, the movement was one among several instances of a broader, more diverse threat that has surfaced across the country. Quote, and this is from the report, our long-held belief that homegrown terrorism couldn't happen here has thus created a situation where we are today stumbling blindly through the legal, operational, and organizational minefield of countering terrorist radicalization and recruitment occurring in the United States. That was the end of that quote. As a result, there is still no federal agency specifically charged with identifying radicalization or working to prevent terrorist recruitment of U.S. citizens and residents, said the report, which was released Friday by the Washington-based Bipartisan Policy Center's National Security Preparedness Group. Anyway, I'm not going to read this whole article. They're still beating the drum of international home and homegrown terrorist problems. This is how ultimately every American who doesn't go along with their plan will be dealt with, in my opinion. Now, I want to revisit some of the things that have been said in the past. Some of this has not, I've never talked about on this show, on this network. On the previous network I was on, I talked about it. But I think sometimes you have to go back and revisit things for new listeners who come on board. And so I'm gonna share with you a piece which was written by Michael Meeker, and then we'll get to the BBC documentary, because I think it's just excellent, ladies and gentlemen. In The Guardian, out of the UK, their controlled media news source, Tony Blair's former cabinet minister, his former environmental minister, wrote an op-ed piece on September 6, 2003. And what he said was, and the headline of this was, this war on terrorism is bogus. The 9/11 attacks gave the U.S. an ideal pretext to use force to secure its global domination. Now he says, this is, and again, this is one of Tony Blair's senior cabinet members, senior government official in Britain, writing this. He says, massive attention has now been given, and rightly so, to the reasons why Britain went to war against Iraq. But far too little attention has focused on why the U.S. went to war, and that throws light on British motives, too. The conventional explanation is that the Twin Towers were hit, retaliation against al-Qaeda bases in Afghanistan was a natural first step in launching a war, a global war against terrorism. Then, because Saddam Hussein was alleged by the U.S. and U.K. governments to retain weapons of mass destruction, the war could be extended to Iraq as well. However, this theory does not fit all the facts. The truth may be a great deal murkier. We now know that a blueprint for the creation of a global Pax Americana was drawn up by Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Jeb Bush, and Louis Libby. The neocons, listeners. The document entitled Rebuilding America's Defenses was written in September of 2000. Actually, it was published in September of 2000. It was written probably far beyond before that by the neoconservative think tank Project for a New American Century. Now, as far as I know, this blueprint is still available today. You can go to newamericancentury.org and check that out. He says the plan shows Bush's cabinet intended to take military control of the Gulf region, whether or not Saddam was in power. It says, while the unresolved conflict in Iraq provides the immediate justification, the need for a substantial American force presence in the Gulf transcends the issue of the regime of Saddam Hussein. Now, I'm going to continue with what he says, and then we are going to get to this documentary, which is very, very important, listeners. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weiss. We're going to take a few-minute break. We'll be back here in just a moment.
aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
All right, we're back. This is Govern America. I'm going to dispense of the music in the interest of time. I was sharing before the break the article that was written by Michael Meeker, Meeker, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. He was one of Tony Blair's senior cabinet ministers. He was an environmental minister in Tony Blair's cabinet, high-ranking government official, talking about September 11th and what a bogus mess it is. He says, the PNAC, Project for New American Century Blueprint, supports an earlier document attributed to Wolfowitz and Libby, which said the U.S. must, quote, discourage advanced industrial nations from challenging our leadership or even aspiring to a larger regional or global role, unquote. It refers to key allies such as the U.K. as the most effective and efficient means of exercising American global leadership. It describes peacekeeping missions as demanding American political leadership rather than that of the UN. It says, even should Saddam pass from the scene, U.S. bases in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait will remain permanently, as Iran may well prove as large a threat to U.S. interests as Iraq does. It spotlights China for regime change, saying it is time to increase the presence of American forces in Southeast Asia. The document also calls for the creation of U.S. space forces to dominate space and the total control of cyberspace to prevent enemies, quote-unquote, using the Internet against the U.S. It also hints that the U.S. may consider developing biological weapons that can target specific genotypes and may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. Finally, written a year before 9/11, it pinpoints North Korea, Syria, and Iran as dangerous regimes. and says their existence justifies the creation of a worldwide command and control system. This is a blueprint for U.S. world domination, but before it is dismissed as an agenda for right-wing fantasists, it is clear it provides a much better explanation of what actually happened before, during, and after 9/11 than the global war on terrorism thesis. This can be seen in several ways. First, it is clear the U.S. authorities did little or nothing to preempt the events of 9/11. It is known that at least 11 countries provided advance warning to the U.S. of the 9/11 attacks. Two senior Mossad experts were sent to Washington in August of 2001 to alert the CIA and FBI to a cell of 200 terrorists said to be preparing a big operation. The list they provided, and he cites the Daily Telegraph, September 16, 2001, the list they provided included the names of four of the 9/11 hijackers, none of whom were arrested. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, I personally do not believe there were even any hijackers. Okay? So, not everything in any source you look at with regard to September 11th, there could very well be certain subtle untruths involved in that. And certainly this is the case with the documentary I'm going to play. So I want to make that clear at the outset. The purpose of this broadcast, and the purpose really I think all of the Patriot broadcasts should be, if they're genuinely on the side of America, is to explore possibilities and to try to get to the bottom of what really happened on that day. We had many people that died on September 11th and many more that have died because of September 11th. And I'm talking about the global war on terrorism, which continues today. And so because of that triggering event, we need to get to the bottom of what really happened. And so I'm open to explore all of the possibilities. Anyway, he says, it has been known as early as 1996 that there were plans to hit Washington targets with airplanes. Then in 1999, a U.S. National Intelligence Council reported that Al-Qaeda suicide bombers could crash land an aircraft packed with high explosives into the Pentagon, the headquarters of the CIA, or the White House. 15 of the 9/11 so-called hijackers, and I added the so-called, obtained their visas in Saudi Arabia. Michael Springman, the former head of the American Visa Bureau in Jeddah, has stated that since 1987, now listen to this, folks, the CIA, since 1987, had been illicitly issuing visas to unqualified applicants from the Middle East and bringing them to the U.S. for training in terrorism for the Afghan war in collaboration with bin Laden, who, by the way, listeners, is a CIA asset. It seems this operation continued after the Afghan war for other purposes. It is also reported that five of the so-called hijackers received training at secure U.S. military installations in the 1990s. Newsweek, September 15, 2001. Instructive leads prior to 9/11 were not followed up. French-Moroccan flight student Zacharias Moussaoui, now thought to be the 20th hijacker, and again, I refer to you what I said about the hijackers earlier, was arrested in August of 2001 after an instructor reported he showed a suspicious interest in learning how to steer large airliners. When U.S. agents learned from French intelligence that he had radical Islamist ties, they sought a warrant to search his computer, which contained clues to the September 11th mission, Times, November 3rd, 2001. But they were turned down by the FBI. One agent wrote a month before 9/11 that Moussaoui might be planning to crash into the Twin Towers. Newsweek, May 20th, 2002. All of this makes it all the more astonishing on the war on terrorism perspective that there was such a slow reaction on September 11th itself. The first hijacking was suspected at not later than 8:20 a.m., and the last hijacked aircraft crashed in Pennsylvania at 10:06 a.m. Not a single fighter plane was scrambled to investigate from the U.S. Andrews Air Force Base just 10 miles from Washington, D.C. Why not? All right, I got to take this break. I'm going to try to quickly get through this, and then I will get to this documentary that I've been telling you about. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks here on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
And we're back. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Wicks here on September 11th, 2010, as we observe with very sober and somber thoughts about the anniversary of this horrific attack on our country by our own government, listeners. I want to finish up this Michael Minker piece, who, once again, this is a British high-ranking government official writing in The Guardian in the UK. He says, all of this makes it all the more astonishing on the war on terrorism perspective, that there was such a slow reaction on September 11th itself. The first hijacking was suspected at not later than 8:20 a.m., and the last hijacked aircraft crashed in Pennsylvania at 10:06 a.m., and not a single fighter plane was scrambled to investigate from the U.S. Andrews Air Force Base just 10 miles from Washington, D.C., until after a third plane had hit the Pentagon at 9:38 a.m. Why not? There were standard FAA intercept procedures for hijacked aircraft before 9/11. Between September 2000 and June 2001, the U.S. military launched fighter aircraft on 67 occasions to chase suspicious aircraft, according to the Associated Press, August 13, 2002. It is a U.S. legal requirement that once an aircraft has moved significantly off its flight plan, fighter planes are sent up to investigate. Was this inaction simply the result of key people disregarding or being ignorant of the evidence? Or could U.S. air security operations have been deliberately stood down on September 11th? If so, why and on whose authority? The former U.S. federal crimes prosecutor, John Loftus, has said, quote, the information provided by European intelligence services prior to 9/11 was so extensive that it is no longer possible for either the CIA or the FBI to assert a defense of incompetence, unquote. Nor is the U.S. response after 9/11 any better. No serious attempt has ever been made to catch bin Laden. In late September and early October of 2001, leaders of Pakistan's two Islamist parties negotiated bin Laden's extradition to Pakistan to stand trial for 9/11. However, a U.S. official said significantly that, quote, casting our objectives too narrowly risked a premature collapse of the international effort if by some lucky chance Mr. bin Laden was captured. See, they didn't want to capture him, folks, because if they captured him, there goes your war on terror pretense. He says the U.S. chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Myers, went so far as to say that the goal has never been to get bin Laden. Associated Press, April 5th, 2002. The whistleblowing FBI agent Robert Wright told ABC News, December 19, 2002, that FBI headquarters wanted no arrests. And on November of 2001, the U.S. Air Force complained it had al-Qaeda and Taliban leaders in its sights as many as 10 times over the previous 6 weeks, but had been unable to attack because they did not receive permission quickly enough. Time Magazine, May 13, 2002. None of this assembled evidence, all of which comes from sources already in the public domain, is compatible with the idea of a real, determined war on terrorism. The catalog of evidence does, however, fall into place when set against the PNAC document. From this, it seems that the so-called war on terrorism is being used largely as a bogus cover for achieving wider U.S. strategic geopolitical objectives. Indeed, Tony Blair himself hinted at this when he said to the Commons Liaison Committee, to be truthful about it, there was no way we could get the public to consent to have suddenly launched a campaign on Afghanistan but for what happened on September 11th. That was reported by the Times July 17, 2002. Similarly, Rumsfeld was so determined to obtain a rationale for an attack on Iraq that on 10 separate occasions, he asked the CIA to find evidence linking Iraq to 9/11. The CIA repeatedly came back empty-handed. In fact, 9/11 offered an extremely convenient pretext to put the PNAC plan into action. The evidence, again, is quite clear that plans for military action against Iraq and Afghanistan were in hand well before 9/11. A report prepared for the U.S. government from the Baker Institute of Public Policy stated in April of 2001, that the U.S. remains a prisoner of its energy dilemma. Iraq remains a destabilizing influence. The flow of oil to international markets from the Middle East. And he goes on to talk about our dependence upon foreign oil. And I think I don't want to get in too far into this, the oil thing, ladies and gentlemen, because I really think that we don't have to be dependent upon foreign oil. Foreign energy. I think you have different levels of understanding in the population, and I think they account for this with their arguments. I think on the surface, some people just believe everything they're told. But then you get those people that go a little beyond that and believe, okay, we're in this war. Why are we really in this? Oh, it's got to be oil because we're dependent upon, we have a shortage of oil. We've been told we're running out of oil. So they're going over there to get the oil. So you got those people that believe that. The truth of the matter is, in my thinking, we don't really have a shortage of oil, and we don't really have terrorism going on, but that, you know, certain isolated incidents and that which is created by government. Truth of the matter is, what this whole war is about is control of the population, control of the earth, control of the resources, control of the people. They want a one-world government, and this has been the plan, this has been the desire of these elitists since the beginning of time, and oh, by the way, they want to kill off a good percentage of the world's population. Anyway, I'm going to leave that there in the interest of time. Would like to finish it, but it's up on the website. If you go to governamerica.com and click on 9/11 War on Terror, it's on the left-hand side in the menu items. You can read the rest of it. In WorldNet Daily, in June 15th of 2005. Now, what we just shared was from Michael Meeker, a highly ranking government official in Britain. Then you also have the ex-Labor Department here in the United States, Bush's own economist. This was, as was reported by WorldNet Daily, who, by the way, is very hawkish on the war on terror, as far as I can tell. But this piece was one that I found in the middle of the night, was posted by on WorldNet Daily in the middle of the night on June 15, 2005, and was quietly removed before the morning people started hitting the site. And what I thought was, you know, the story was quickly taken down because apparently maybe somebody working at an overnight at WorldNet Daily doesn't know that this story is contrary to their publication's pro-war stance. But basically, and this is very short, it says, a former Bush team member during his first administration is now voicing serious doubts about the collapse of the World Trade Center on September 11th of 2001. Morgan Reynolds, former chief economist for the Department of Labor during President George W. Bush's first term, says the official story about the collapse of the Twin Towers is bogus, and that it is more likely a controlled demolition destroying them that destroyed them, and the adjacent building number 7. All right, so you got high-ranking government officials in Britain asking questions, doubting the official story. You have Bush's ex-Labor Department, so high-ranking government officials in the U.S. And as we've seen develop out of the ashes of the World Trade Center, a whole lot of scientists, a whole lot of professionals asking questions, and there's a laundry list of questions that can be asked, and you know, questions like we've already raised, why didn't the jets intercept the airlines since they had numerous warnings of the so-called attacks? Why did John Ashcroft stop flying commercial, citing an unidentified threat in July of 2001? Why were there no photos or videos of the Pentagon plane? Why didn't the Secret Service hustle W out of the classroom? And I would add to that, why, when he was whispered, it was whispered in his ear what was going on, why did he continue to read to the school children that were there? For quite a lengthy period of time, I forget the exact number of minutes. Where was George Herbert Walker Bush at the time of the attacks? Why did passengers or crew members on three of the flights all use the term box cutters? Where are the flight recorders? How did Bush see the first plane crash on live camera? Why was the security meeting scheduled for 9/11 canceled by World Trade Center management on September 10th? And there's the question of when FEMA arrived. Tom Kennedy, FEMA Search and Rescue, told Dan Rather, and we have the audio of this, that they arrived the night before. We arrived on Monday evening, went into action early Tuesday morning. These are just a few of the questions, and there are so many more, and maybe I'll read more of these questions as time goes on, listeners. But right now, I want to get to this documentary before I talk us right out of time. Because I think this is very important, because all of this 9/11 stuff has really led up to the notion, the lie, the idea that there is a worldwide terror network that has been built in the United, not in the United States, but has been built around the world and poses a serious, imminent threat to the people of the world. And because of this, we've launched this worldwide war on terror to eradicate these evildoers. And we have to seek them out, hunt them out. And as you're going to see in a moment, nothing could be further from the truth, listeners. The lengths that the government has done, has gone to build this idea up, the lengths that they have gone to fabricate cases of terrorism, so that they can point to those and say, see, we've thwarted them. See, we've had successes in this war. I mean, if it wasn't so serious, I was just talking to John from Tennessee before the show, if it wasn't so serious, it would be laughable. I mean, absolutely laughable. But all right, I'm gonna quit talking. I'm going to get right to this. Power of Nightmares, The Rise of the Politics of Fear. It's a BBC documentary, mainstream media in Britain. I don't agree with everything in this, by the way. I want to make it clear. They are inside the dialectic as far as 9/11 is concerned itself. There are things that they say with regard to, basically, they blame the attack on the Twin Towers and the Pentagon on a small group of radical Islamists. Okay? So they're helping to promote the lie in that respect. And I want to make that clear. I want to acknowledge that ahead of time. But I think as we play this thing through, you're going to see exactly why I've chosen to air this thing today. It was produced by a gentleman named Adam Curtis. There were three parts. It was aired twice on the BBC. As I said earlier, they tried to get it aired here in the United States. They were turned down. The only part of this I'm going to play, it was a three-hour documentary, three parts, an hour apiece. I'm only going to play you the last part because this is the one that's the most telling. Now, they talk about the Cold War, the exaggeration of the threat of communism, and I do believe communism is a threat. That's another thing that I want to point out here. I'm open to the possibility that the administration was exaggerating the threat of the Soviet Union at the time because they were making claims that the Soviet Union was engaging in worldwide terrorism. So I'm open to that possibility that that was a fabrication or an exaggeration at least. But communism itself is alive and well today, and I think the Cold War was used to help promote, to help put the West to sleep to the threat of communism. So I want to make that clear. All right, without any further delay, ladies and gentlemen, we present the BBC documentary, The Power of Nightmares.
In the past, politicians promised to create a better world. They had different ways of achieving this, but their power and authority came from the optimistic visions they offered their people. Those dreams failed, and today people have lost faith in ideologies. Increasingly, politicians are seen simply as managers of public life. But now, they have discovered a new role that restores their power and authority. Instead of delivering dreams, politicians now promise to protect us from nightmares. They say that they will rescue us from dreadful dangers that we cannot see and do not understand. And the greatest danger of all is international terrorism, a powerful and sinister network with sleeper cells in countries across the world. A threat that needs to be fought by a war on terror. But much of this threat is a fantasy which has been exaggerated and distorted by politicians. It's a dark illusion that has spread unquestioned through governments around the world, the security services, and the international media. This is a series of films about how and why that fantasy was created and who it benefits. At the heart of the story are two groups, the American neoconservatives and the radical Islamists. Last week's episode ended in the late 90s with both groups marginalized and out of power. But with the attacks on September the 11th, the fates of both dramatically changed. After their moment of triumph, they were virtually destroyed within months, while the neoconservatives took power in Washington. But then, the neoconservatives began to reconstruct the Islamists. They created a phantom enemy. And as this nightmare fantasy began to spread, politicians realized the new power it gave them in a deeply disillusioned age. Those with the darkest nightmares became the most powerful. At the end of the 1990s, Osama bin Laden had returned to Afghanistan. He was accompanied by Ayman Zawahiri, the most influential ideologist of the Islamist movement. For 20 years, Zawahiri had struggled to create revolutions in the Arab world, but all attempts had ended in bloody failure.
Being a Muslim, you are wanted everywhere. Because if you say no to the superpowers, this means in essence it's a crime. You are wanted
Zawahiri was a follower of the Egyptian revolutionary Said Qutb, who had been executed in 1966. Qutb's vision had been of a new type of modern state. It would contain all the benefits of Western science and technology, but it would use Islam as a moral framework to protect people from the culture of Western liberalism.
Okay, folks, I got to take a break here. When we come back from the break, I will continue on with this documentary. We're just getting started. I do hope you folks will stay tuned for this. I promise you it is worth the listen. So let's go ahead and take the break. And when we come back, we'll continue with The Power of Nightmares, The Rise of the Politics of Fear. Stay with us. This is Govern America. Don't go away.
Have you heard the big news? The anti-gun politicians just had their ass handed to them in the McDonald versus Chicago case. And now we're celebrating right in the backyard of Chicago itself, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share a passion for their rights and to celebrate the restoration of the Second Amendment. So come and let the freedom bells ring. Join us in the patriotic shooting event of a generation. Grab your guns and sign up for an event-filled weekend of shooting and self-protection training for you and your family. There's limited space, so go to republicbroadcasting.org to find out more and sign up today.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-340-4634.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll free now, 1-800-340-4634. That's 1-800-340-4634.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. As we continue on here, I'm sharing with you a documentary that was aired twice on the BBC. It's an official British television documentary, which was not allowed to be shown here in the United States, about how the Al-Qaeda network was made up by the neocons. And I want to continue here with this.
Could it believe that this culture infected the minds of Muslims, turning them into selfish creatures who threatened to destroy the shared values that held society together? Throughout the 80s and 90s, Zawahiri had tried to persuade the masses to rise up and topple the rulers who had allowed this corruption to infect their country.
Now, we want to speak to the whole world. Who are we?
But the revolutionaries became trapped in a horrific escalation of violence because the masses refused to follow them. Islamism failed as a mass movement. And Zawahiri now came to the conclusion that a new strategy was needed.
They had no revolution at all. I mean, they had failed in their takeover. They had failed to topple the powers that be. And, you know, they became more and more interested in this idea that only a small vanguard could be successful. I mean, they had lost confidence in the spontaneous capacity of the masses to be mobilized. Then they decided to change strategy completely. And instead of striking at what they called the near enemy, i.e. the local regimes, they decided that they could strike at the faraway enemy, i.e. at the West, at America. And that would impress the masses, and the masses would be mobilized.
Zawahiri and bin Laden began implementing this new strategy in August 1998. Two huge suicide bombs were detonated outside American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, killing more than 200 people. The bombings had a dramatic effect on the West. For the first time, the name bin Laden entered the public consciousness as a terrorist mastermind. The suicide bombers had been recruited by bin Laden from the Islamist training camps in Afghanistan. But his and Zawahiri's operation was very much on the fringes of the Islamist movement.
Okay, folks, I want to just stop it right here and interrupt. And they failed to say it, but I will say it here. Remember, let's always keep in mind, whenever we talk about bin Laden recruiting terrorists, bin Laden was a CIA asset. He worked for the CIA. And the bin Laden family, as far as I can tell, as far as I know, to this day, are business partners with the Bush family through the Carlyle Group. So I just wanted to point that out.
The overwhelming majority of the fighters in these camps had nothing at all to do with bin Laden or international terrorism. They were training to fight the regimes in their own countries, such as Uzbekistan, Kashmir, and Chechnya. Their aim was to establish Islamist societies in the Muslim world, and they had no interest in attacking America. Bin Laden helped fund some of the camps, and in return was allowed to look for volunteers for his operations. But a number of senior Islamists were against his new strategy, including members of Zawahiri's own group, Islamic Jihad. Even bin Laden's displays of strength to the Western media were faked. The fighters in this video had been hired for the day and told to bring their own weapons. For beyond his own small group, bin Laden had no formal organization until the Americans invented one for him. In January 2001, a trial began in a Manhattan courtroom of four men accused of the embassy bombings in East Africa. But the Americans had also decided to prosecute bin Laden in his absence. But to do this under American law, the prosecutors needed evidence of a criminal organization. Because as with the mafia, that would allow them to prosecute the head of the organization, even if he could not be linked directly to the crime.
Okay, I got to take the break here, folks, the top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll continue with this. I hope you're seeing now why I've decided to do this. Stay tuned. Govern America continues. With